Okay, see if we can get all of our systems. Yeah, okay, hey, it works. So I have the same thing that you're looking at on my iPad. Okay. Meant to do that. I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at, so the only trick is I have to remember every time I advance, I've got to do that. So if I fall behind, just let me know, and I'll fix it. And I may have to relinquish the clicker at some point. Somebody can do it better than I can. But we'll try. We'll see how it goes. So very nice being here today. I know you guys haven't been back at worship services too long since COVID. So I know the feeling that it's good to be back. Certainly we felt that at Tintern. And I want to talk a little bit about, I'll just tell you where we're going today. I want to talk a little bit about a spiritual practice that we implemented at Tintern, several members, over COVID. Some of the biblical reasons for it, and just to orient you to it, because it may be of value to you also. It may be for you, it may not be for you. That's okay. But it's just a thought, and I'm not going to probably delivering any information that is going to be new to you, that you're going to walk away saying, I didn't know that. But this is probably refresher of some basic aspects of Christianity, but I think it's good for us to kind of refocus once in a while and remind ourselves of some of these things. So at Tintern, here's a question I want to ask. How many of you, while we were basically shut down, participated in the Tintern live cast? Okay, so about 50%, that's great. We really appreciate being able to serve the Ontario congregations that way. There was a number of congregations that regularly jumped on our live stream. And you probably noticed that there were some days where it did not go well, technically. And poor Noel. We've aged Noel probably 10 years in the last two. And we still are projecting the live stream because, like you, we have some members that, for their own health, need to stay home still. Some members that are taking chemo or for whatever reasons, they are staying home. And that's what churches have seen pretty much across North America. 15 to 20% of the membership has not come back. Doesn't mean they're not going to, but at this stage of the pandemic, they haven't returned, and that's the reality of the situation. I don't know if you've experienced about that also, but that's generally what congregations have found. So I think at some point we are going to stop the live stream. But if you see Noel sometime at some event, give him a hug and tell him thank you for all the work he did with the live stream, because he tells us that every day there was something new that would go wrong with the live stream, and he never knew what it was going to be. It was an adventure for him every Sunday. So he really worked through the process, and we're thankful that not only do we have a really good minister who preaches well, but he's pretty strong technically also. And so he served our congregation well over the pandemic, and we're glad that we could benefit other groups also. But one thing we identified when we got back together, maybe we even talked about it with the live stream, is that being in the pandemic is kind of like the Israelites when they were about to enter the promised land and they doubted whether they could do it. God sent them back into the wilderness for 40 years. And it wasn't easy, but God had some lessons he wanted this people to know. They weren't ready yet to come into the promised land. And so we talked about the pandemic, and maybe the pandemic is a wilderness experience for us too, that there are some things that we can learn through that experience. This is nothing new that probably you haven't talked about and thought about, but I'd say for our my family, it was a positive thing. All of a sudden, the two daughters that had kind of moved out or were away at university came back home to live because their classes were shut down, or living in Toronto was probably not as safe as living in Little Vineland. So for many reasons, we had what we thought was a situation where we were becoming empty nesters. Our nest filled again. And not only did they come back, they brought back their boyfriends. So I blessed Heidi because she was just going to the grocery store every day, getting groceries to feed all these people that were in our house. And probably we were stretching what the premier wanted us to do, but I didn't say you can't have your boyfriend. And they stayed with us. So I really got to know the boyfriends and the fiancés, and that was a real great experience. You know, we really enjoyed having our kids back home more so than we would have ever thought we would have at that stage. They weren't exactly thrilled to be home with mom and dad. They thought they would be doing something else at that time of their life. And I understand that, and nothing we can do about that. But that's their experience in the wilderness. But as a congregation, we learned some things. And one thing was, as Bill said, how good it is to be back. Good it is to be back with each other. There's just, as good as the live stream and convenient it was, it got us through. But it wasn't the same. Not the same thing as being together. So we're really thankful now for the time we have together and how important it is to be together. One of the things we focused on and talked about was developing some new spiritual practices during the pandemic. And we focused on the spiritual practice of reading our Bible regularly, and focused a couple weeks on Wednesday nights on that. We spent a series on prayer and some ways in which we can deepen our prayer life. And Noel had some different tools that we used for that. And we just finished a series with John Mark Hicks on the Lord's Table. I think the series was 6 weeks long, 6 weeks on the Lord's Table. And if you're like me, you thought, oh man, I've done the Lord's Table every day or every Sunday all my life. What is there to learn about that I haven't heard already? And there's a lot. We're just scratching the surface of understanding what was happening with the Lord's Table when Jesus practiced it. What was in the Israelite tradition for the Lord's Table. Anyway, I'm going too deep on that. But so there are several different things that we focused on. And one of them, which I alluded to, was getting into the Bible more frequently. And that was something in my spiritual life that I hadn't been real consistent with. My wife is far more consistent with that than I am. So I've had some times where I've been good at that and times where I haven't been as good at that in terms of reading my Bible regularly. So I found some tools that have been very helpful to me, and I want to pass them on to you. But in leading up to it, let's just talk about the spiritual practice of reading our Bible. Let's see if this will work now. This way. There we go. Probably hard for you to read, so I'll read it along here. This is a survey that was done in the States. 50% of Americans have read little to none of their Bible. 50% of Americans have read little to none, and that's not American Christians, that's just across the population. And because this is an American survey, I will say that generally in Canada, probably these numbers are lower. That we kind of have a culture that's not based on, let's just say Christianity isn't as prevalent in our culture as it is in the States. 30% in the States look up things in the Bible only when they need to. Less than 20%, 25% have any kind of systematic plan for reading the Bible on a daily basis. So I would probably throw myself in that third group, that I didn't really have a consistent plan for reading the Bible on a consistent basis. 17% simply flip it open to read a passage randomly. I'm going to read my Bible today. Let's see where the Holy Spirit is going to drop me, and I'll let the pages fly where they fly, and that's where God's leading me. So that's about 17% of people in the States do that. And again, the numbers probably are lower than what we have in Canada. But I would say it's generally true that as much as we all agree it's important to read our Bible, sadly, in general, most of us in North America don't do it as often as we probably should. So I want to run through some scriptures to just focus on the importance of reading our Bible. Because, I can talk about how good it is, but I'd rather get it from God as to why God says it's good to do this. So I'm going to run through about seven different scriptures, comment on them briefly, and then I'm going to talk about the different tool that has helped me with this practice. So hopefully this won't be a long sermon and we'll get you out quicker. This is the first time through on this sermon, and there's a danger that I'll be long, and there's a danger I'll be short, and we'll just see where it goes. The first scripture, Proverbs 14, verse 12. And this is kind of the foundational scripture in my mind as to why we look to God's word. There is a way that appears to be right. Some versions say it appears to be right to man. But in the end, it leads to death. So generally speaking, I think that's why we defer to God's knowledge and wisdom instead of ours. God says there is a way that seems right, and most of the world, bless them, follow what seems right to them. However, the scripture tells us it leads to death. That what appears to make sense to us leads to death. And it's very similar to the concept in the New Testament about the narrow road and the broad road, that many are on the broad road that leads to death. So we need to defer to God's wisdom instead of ours, which is why we are willing to open our Bibles on a regular basis so we can understand God. Second scripture. But as for you, Timothy 3, 14 through 17, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then here's the bumper sticker quote that we probably all know. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we all want to be equipped properly. We don't want to be equipped poorly. I don't always like our emphasis on rebuking and correcting. That's become a little problematic in our culture over the last 100 years. And sometimes, is all scripture useful? I've been going through the Chronicles lately, and name after name after name, we're being reminded of all the Israelites since Abraham. And you wonder, well, is that really all that inspirational to hear all these names? Well, maybe in the bigger context of things, it is. So, generally speaking, all scripture is useful for teaching and training in righteousness. Deuteronomy 17, yep. When he, who the king of it, the king of Israel, takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of the law taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere God and follow carefully all his words and law and these decrees. and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right, from the left and to the right, then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom of Israel. So we can apply it. What's good for the king of Israel is actually good for us also. We can insert our name here too, that we need to, we don't have to copy down the scriptures from a scroll like he was told to. And I'm not sure if he actually did it or if it was done for him, but he is to read it all the days of his life, to learn to revere God or learn to fear God, or put God's wisdom ahead of our own wisdom, which generally makes sense to us but may not make sense to other people. Scripture 4, Amos. I keep wanting to click up there. That doesn't make sense. There we go. Amos 8, verse 11. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. Ever since the Gutenberg Press, the Bible has been available. The Bible has never been so available since the Gutenberg Press, and now that we have the internet, it's even more so available to everybody. But we can have a self-inflicted famine if we don't come up to the table and eat. We can go hungry if we don't read and take ourselves to the Word. So from our reading this morning, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way with the sinners, this isn't from our reading, this is from Psalm 1, or sits in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, The person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So meditating on the Word of God every day. Sometimes we read a passage or a section of the Bible and we think we've heard it so many times. But do we meditate on it? Do we think about it? Or do we do a first glance and yes, kind of think we know it all and move on? But if we meditate on it and think about it, look into other resources to talk about it and dive deeper, we can get greater insights. Blessed is the one whose delight is the law of the Lord and who meditates on the law day and night. Sixth scripture, Acts 17:11. Now the Berean Jews, who were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. The Thessalonians had a book written after them. The Bereans didn't. We're not as familiar with them. But here, the writer of Acts is saying they were of more noble character because they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So that's another scripture that emphasizes how important it is. Two more. Psalm 119:9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. That may be more true today than ever before with the influences of the world. I don't know. it's hard to compare because I've not been in other centuries, but there's a lot of stuff that's accessible to young people now. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to the word, knowing what God's way is, and understanding what God wants for us. Psalm 19, 10 through 11. This was from the reading this morning. And I just put the last couple verses in, talking about the law of the Lord. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. So Josh Dowell documented some reasons why a practice of reading the Bible daily is beneficial. And there's probably more, but this is maybe a good list of five. It's one of the main ways that God communicates to us today. We are in what's called the post-dispensation period, where God is not speaking through prophets, may not have poured out his spirit in the same way he did in the early church. But God's message to us mainly comes through the Bible, but God also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit also and our conscience. But to negate and leave out God's word, the Bible, we're missing probably the main way in which God communicates to us. Number two, it helps us understand God and his love for us. Big picture. We get to know the truth, God's truth, so we can honor him with our lives. We learn God's mindset, which will guide our thoughts and our actions. How would God think about these things? And does that get reflected in my life? And it's only by knowing his word that we start to think like God if we understand how God thinks. And the last point I added on my own was to know and understand Jesus better. Jesus, in my mind, is the center of everything in the Bible. Everything points to Jesus eventually. And we need to understand Jesus intimately. So that's extremely important to understand how God interjected himself in humanity and saves the world, all humanity, through Jesus. And only by reading the Word of God with people that were living with Jesus can we get that understanding. Okay, so kind of understanding this, maybe not at this level, but understanding it generally, at an early point of the pandemic, I thought, boy, I would really like to find a podcast which just kind of shares the Bible on a regular basis. I like podcasts. I listen to podcasts on the Blue Jays all the time. I listen to podcasts of the news all the time. My phone gets full with stuff I like to listen to. And I listen to podcasts when I'm driving, when I'm cutting the grass, when I'm walking the dog, when I'm shaving. So I have a lot of time where I'm listening to information. And I thought, gee, I wish I could use some of that time to hear from God. So a quick search on the internet, I found this one website. It's called the Daily Audio Bible. And I tried it out. I really liked it. Over the last couple of years, I've had a number of people. I shared the opportunity with a number of people, like I'm sharing with you now. And a lot of people have also tried it, and it's really worked for them. Some people have tried it, and this isn't the right time of their life for it, for one reason or another. And that's fine. Anyway, this is a tool that's worked for me. You can listen to the readings off of a computer, if it's got a speaker, of course. Or you can download it onto your smartphone, and you can listen to it anytime you're in the car or anywhere you're listening to information. Do you guys still produce a bulletin, hard copy or soft copy? Do you guys still produce a bulletin?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll share this information on a bulletin coming up, so you can have that available to you. But it's a quick download, and you can start really any time. I like to start people in January, because that's they start Genesis in January. So you can really start any time. In fact, I started in March, but I played catch-up first couple months of the pandemic. And I think it was by about the end of March or the beginning of April I got on the same page with them. But that was because I had a little more time on my hands with being at home. So let me give you an introduction to the Daily Audio Bible. It's hosted and read by a professional communicator, I would say, Brian Harden. For over 15 years, he was a producer in the Nashville music scene and understands everything about communication through that media. But he did lose his career at one point. This isn't pandemic related, but the business died on him. And he had a choice as to where he was going to pour his life, because he had been pouring his life into his career. And he recognized that he was getting away from God. And he started, this is just the beginning of podcasts being available and being a thing. He started his own little podcast of reading the Bible and let friends know. I think he let about 20 different friends know that he was doing this and opened up the podcast to them. They all enjoyed it and were doing it with him. And now he's got, I'm not sure how many thousands, but thousands of people across the globe that participate with him. He has since gone to seminary school. He's an ordained minister. And so he's got his biblical chops. So when he's providing applications, commentary, he's well-read. He's not just thinking this up on his own. He comes from a non-denominational background with how he does this. He doesn't emphasize one thing or another from different groups, but generally tries to focus on areas of agreement. You go through the Bible in about a year, and the blessing of that, or the benefit of that, is that we tend to stay in certain areas. Spend a lot of time in the New Testament, books in the Old Testament. There's some stuff there that I have never read. What this does is this gives you a very comprehensive view of what's in the Bible within a year, and it's good to get that perspective. Many of us stay on for subsequent years. And if you listen to it and you hear people calling in with prayer requests, the people have been doing it for 10, 12 years, you know, and I'm not asking you for that. Just try it out. You may try it for a year. You may try it for a couple of years, whatever works for you. This isn't to be another burden to, this is what I have to do. This is just something that's helped me and it may help you. So what happens every day, and there's a segment for each day that you can download through the app. Brian will do a little bit of an introduction as to where we left off and where we're going. Doesn't usually talk about current events a whole lot, because current events will change depending on who your listeners are, of course. He does an Old Testament section reading, and he'll do a New Testament reading, and then he adds on a psalm and a proverb. And at the end of that, he'll provide some commentary on one of those four readings. Sometimes he'll provide commentary on two of them. Takes about 30 minutes to 40 minutes, depending on how long he goes with his commentary. You can listen, if you want to only listen to the readings, if your time is short, that's done in about 20 minutes. So it's not too bad at all. And then after his commentary and application, there's a section after that where it's recorded that listeners call in with prayer requests, prayer and praise, I'd call it. And I'd say I listen to that 25% of the time. Others listen to it all the time. And you actually broaden your fellowship by listening to that, because you start to feel the hearts and minds of other Christians that are reading the same thing you're reading, and they're sharing their prayer concerns. And you start to realize that, yeah, you have your own problems, but other people have big problems too. and it kind of gets you off of the self-pity when you start to realize what other people are dealing with and what they're asking for prayers for. So it just broadens up the whole, this is what our church is. It becomes much bigger. It's read from a different translation. I think he rotates through about three or four different translations every year. One of them is the Message, one of them is the NIV. There's a couple that I'm not as familiar with, but it's actually kind of good to hear it from different translations because you hear different things being emphasized. There's others, like the one I'm talking about is just kind of going through the Bible verse by verse. There's other daily audio Bibles, and you see it when you log on. You can choose the regular one, which I do. There's one that's chronological, which means they've rearranged the Bible as to when they think it would have physically been in order, which puts Job way back in Genesis. It's kind of interesting. And the New Testament gets moved around quite a bit, and you don't see the book of John until almost Revelation. So that's the chronological reading, and that's done by his wife. And it just gives you a different perspective. They have a daily audio Bible for kids, and this is when Brian and his wife get their kids to read the Bible, and it's kind of fun. I've heard it a couple times, and that may be helpful to your kids also. And it's in other languages. There's English, Spanish, Japanese, Arabic, and French. So if you're trying to learn a new language also, there's an opportunity there to practice your new language by listening to the language on the Daily Audio Bible. Okay, so let me just close with giving you a couple tips that I've picked up for this spiritual practice. First of all, I would say it helps you develop a spiritual practice that draws you closer to God. I'm sorry, that's pretty small. You may find a daily rhythm when your hands are busy and your feet are busy, but your mind is not. That's what you're looking for. My good one was walking my beagle. I could listen to the Daily Audio Bible while walking the dog. It was good. Shaving is another time. Cutting the grass is another time. Commuting to work. A lot of the people at Tintern that have done this, that's been their rhythm, is listening to it on the way to work because they work in Oakville, so it takes about 30 minutes, depending on traffic. Catching up is easily done if you fall behind a day or two. That's not hard to catch up. You just double up for a couple days. If you have to go on a drive to any place that's a couple hours away, it's really easy then to catch up. Just listen to them back to back. So that's a way you can catch up. But I would say don't worry about falling behind. It's probably more important you just jump back on the bus wherever we are and continue on. Don't worry about catching up if it becomes a big burden. We at Tintern, somebody said, let's do a text group with each other. And so we have a group of, I think, eight of us that text each other. When there's something in the passage that strikes us or makes us think, we share that with each other. And that can be helpful. Some people share more than others, and that's okay. I really want to, if you do this, encourage you to listen to the introduction, commentaries, and applications that Brian Harden does, because I think they're really solid. I'm quite impressed with them, and he's identified some applications I've never seen before, and of course, there's some passages that I've never noticed before either, until he brings them out. There's other resources within the DAB, I call it DAB Daily Audio Bible, and when you listen to people giving their prayers, they call themselves dabbers, so that's just part of inside baseball talk, but there's a whole community there, and if you go on the website, there's a whole bunch of other resources, there's a Facebook page, there's a prayer wall, all kinds of things that kind of expand your spiritual community. doesn't detract from here in your local congregation, and they never want to do that. But this also gives you more communion with other people. As I said, it's not for everyone, but it may be for you. Recently at Tintern, who has picked up on it? I've got a couple teens, Ben's age. They're Noel's sons, they're twins. In fact, I've got all four of the boys, Noel's sons, doing it. And Noel talks about how he can hear it booming when one of the twins is in the shower, because they're listening to it. And then he'll hear it somewhere else in the kitchen when one of the other boys is eating and listening to it. So he's hearing it all day long. Jeff Kennedy, one of our elders, he drives to Oakville Christian, and that's when he listens to it. And he's commented about how that's become a real good rhythm for him. I have a widow at Tintern whose husband passed away during COVID, and they used to read the Bible together every morning. And, you know, they've been Christians, or they've been together since they were in high school. And so losing her husband now, after all these years of reading the Bible every day, created a real void. And so she said this is what's filled that void for her, is that she doesn't have Wayford anymore, but she can continue this practice, and there's other people that she has fellowship with now. So it's been good for her that way. And I have people that are skeptics. They said to me, oh, I don't think I could do it, but I'll give it a try. And I said, yeah, give it a try, see if it works for you. And some of them are like, just love it now that they figured out how to make it part of their daily routine. Because let's face it, all of us probably waste 15 to 20 minutes somewhere during the day, or have idle time where our hands are busy but our mind is not. And so it's not really that difficult to add it to your life. So this may work for you. It may not. It may not be something you're interested in, and that's fine too. So I'm not here to put a new burden on you, but more of an opportunity to develop a spiritual practice that's been helpful for others. So I pray that this has been a good thing for you, and leave that with all the passages I've shared, and just identify that that's God's word for us today. Thank you.